Hi, and welcome back to College Basketball Realm. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Blake.
And today we're going to be starting off with how disappointing the Pac-12 has been this year.
Yeah, there was a lot of teams at the beginning of the year that looked so good coming out of this Pac-12, and they all have been really disappointing. Washington, who will most likely be the one if they win the Pac-12, lost to a 5-22 California team who was winless in the Pac-12, 76-73. Teams like UCLA and Oregon, who were ranked so high in the beginning of the year, just fell off so fast. UCLA is now 16-13, and Oregon is now 16-12. Who had started Bol Bol, go through some injuries, and out for the rest of the year. Do you think that they can turn this Pac-12 around anytime soon, or is it going to be like this for the next few years, Andrew?
The only hope they have is if these big colleges like UCLA or Oregon could get, a good recruiting class. But, this looks like the new norm now for the Pac-12. It's real disappointing to see, a lot of these other conferences, not big one, like the American Conference and also Gonzaga, those teams looking so much better than all these highly ranked teams in the beginning of the year. But I think this might be the new norm going ahead for the next couple years.
So how far do you think Washington, the team that was probably going to win the Pac-12, will make it in the tournament?
They lost that game against California, and they did not look that great in that game. It was a close game, and California shot great and all, but that is a 5-22 team that completely fell. 5-22 team that did such a good job against Washington, and Washington just fell apart the entire game. So I don't see Washington, making out of the first round.
Oh, so you're seeing. So even what do you think they'll be ranked in the? Think they'll be a 5 seed or?
If they completely destroy the Pac-12, which they probably will in the tournament, they could be as high as a 5 seed. But after that loss against California, I can definitely see them falling down to an 8 or 9 for sure.
I definitely agree with you there. If they still are a 5 seed, I feel like they're gonna get upset in the first round, maybe get to the second round, but they're nothing to be really high up for in this tournament. So let's go on to another fun game we have today. Number 16, Kansas State up against Baylor. This is a big game in the Big 12. Kansas State fell 64-49 at Kansas on Monday night in a game in which the Wildcats were manhandled in nearly every category. What do you think about that, Andrew?
Yeah, Kansas State, one of those teams that has been looking really, really good. Just got destroyed by the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas looked like the team they did in the beginning of the year. They dominated the glass 41-31. They caused more turnovers. They only committed 8 fouls compared to 17 for Kansas State. Kansas also shot a lot better, 40% to about 30% in a defensive battle. So this needs to be a rebound game if Kansas State wants to stay as a 6th seed come tournament time.
Definitely. Baylor, on the other hand, they found a way to win against Texas in overtime, 84-83. That was a great game after overcoming a 19-point deficit. The Bears are the national top 20 in rebounding margin and block shots. So that's a big category that they lead in, which is very good for them, which they need to show what they can do there. Kansas State struggles on the front line will be tested, especially. Baylor is led by Maki Mason and injured Tristan Clark with 14.6 points per game. Mario Kegler is chipping also in with 10 points per game. Who do you have winning this game, Andrew?
I'm going to go with Baylor coming out on top in this game.
A little upset.
Yeah, a little upset, but not really. I think Baylor is one of those underrated teams. Just started off on a rough start, but have been just continuously doing well. They're definitely a tournament team, and Kansas State getting manhandled last game. I definitely can see Baylor team that just came back of such a big deficit, be able to come out and win this game.
So Baylor right now in bracketology is ranked as a 7 seed. You see them making any noise in the tournament?
I feel like if they really put as much effort, they obviously need to be healthy. Tristan Clark, he's one of their leading scorers. He needs to be healthy. If they want to do anything in the tournament, they need to be continually a great rebounding team and defensively shut down these teams. So I do see them, possibly being one of those teams that knocks off a 2 seed in the second round to get to the Sweet 16, but not much farther than that.
I could definitely see that. In this game, I think I'm going to take Kansas State, though, just because they really did get manhandled by Kansas. They're embarrassed right now, and they don't want that to happen two games in a row. So they're going to come out with a ferocious start, and they're going to show why they are nationally ranked.
Yeah, so now we have Duke in Miami. We just found out this morning that Zion is not playing for Duke for the third straight game. You know, they have suffered losses from UNC Virginia Tech without him, and they barely slid past Syracuse. You know, without Zion's presence, Duke is unable to be that dominant defensive presence that they usually are. So teams like Virginia Tech and UNC are just able to capitalize offensively. So Miami is going to have a lot. Is going to have an opportunity to, you know, possibly take this game. Chris Likes has had an amazing career at Miami. He and the rest of the Hurricanes must be able to stop Cam Reddish or RJ Barrett, you know, if they want to win this game. Who do you have coming up on top for this one, Blake?
I have Duke here just because of how good their other players are without Zion. I mean, we are doing the same storyline over and over again. Can Duke win without Zion? And they've shown that they can't. And I see this becoming down to a close game, but I think Duke is going to sneak past Miami in this game just because there are other players like Reddish and Barrett. They're going to step up in this game.
Yeah, Miami was able to take UNC to the wire, was able to take Clemson to the wire. I actually beat Clemson on a game winner. They do really well against tough teams, so I'm going to have to still go with Duke just because, you know, you can't count out RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish. These guys are just too good, but I agree with you that I do see a close game for Miami and Duke.
All right, let's go over the Big Ten. Ohio State taking on number 14, Purdue. It should be a really fun game to watch, but a little bad thing for Ohio State, Caleb Wenson. This is big against Purdue. He is suspended. It's going to be really big, especially with Purdue having such a good interior with Matt Harms. Ohio State, still kind of a bubble team. They're pretty much in the tournament, but they're still a little bit of a bubble team. But this lock would definitely secure them into the tournament. It's going to be very hard, though, like I said, without Wenson. But there are other key players like C.J. Jackson and Justin Arons, who are both shooting over 40% from three-point land. They really do need their three-pointers to fall in this game. That's going to be their big key if they want to pull off the upset, that their three-pointers are going to have to keep falling, like Arons did last game against Iowa with 29 points. They also really have to stop Carson Edwards, who's just a scoring machine for Purdue. He's averaging over 23 points per game. Who do you have in this game, Andrew?
I'm going to have to take Purdue. Caleb Wenson is too much of a factor for Ohio State's success. And Carson Edwards, he's a big candidate for National Player of the Year. He's just been a stud at Purdue. He's a scoring machine. And without that defensive presence of Caleb Wenson, I think Carson Edwards is going to be able to finesse his way and drop 20 to 30 points this game. And Purdue's going to come out on top.
I'm going to have to disagree with you here. I think Ohio State is going to go into Purdue with a lot of confidence, and they're going to pull off the upset. They're going to have to play really, really good defense, and I think they can do that, and I think the three-pointers are going to fall. Chris Holtman's a great coach, and I think that they're going to get it done at Purdue. That game is 2 p.m. on ESPN. Nice nationally televised game for Ohio State to really build their resume.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to UNC against Clemson today. This is UNC's last game before the big finish against Duke. UNC has climbed the ladder as one of the best college basketball teams. You know, starting off slow defensively, but seeing the picking it up. Coach Roy Williams' team is red hot this year, having won 11 of its last 12 games. The program's best stretch in the ACC play since winning 13 of 14 in the 2013-14 season.
Very impressive.
Yeah, they share the top spot right now with Virginia. They're looking to be the regular season champs. They hope to finish off the season with a victory at Clemson and just prepare for Duke.
Definitely. They're going to have to prepare for Duke because Duke is going to come out firing. Clemson, though, is one of those teams that you just don't know what you're going to get, coming off two wins, but before that, three losses in a row with two tragic games. They lost against Louisville on a game-winning block and lost to Miami with Zach Johnson's game-winning jumper. Clemson's really a bubble team on the verge of making the tournament, and with a win today would surely lock them in. But Clemson will have to muster its best defensive effort of the season to maintain contact with the Tar Heels, who are the only team in the league to have three players averaging 14.9 points or more in Cam Johnson, Kobe White, and Luke May.
Yeah, so now we're going to move on to a new section of the podcast. Since it's March and March Madness is on the way, we're going to be moving on to Blake's Bracket Busters. Blake, take it away.
Yeah, so I have two bracket busters today. We have my first one is Syracuse. They're currently projected as a 9 seed. They're in a very good ACC conference, getting them ready for the tournament. Their 2-3 zone is very good. That's why they that helped them beat Duke. They could really cause some problems in their for their opponents. And they're currently being led by Tyus Battle on offense, averaging 17.5 points per game. If both the offense and the defense are clicking, they can be a very dangerous team in this tournament. And then my second bracket buster is UCF, who is currently projected as an 11 seed. They have a lot of potential to make an impact in March. They have 7'6 Taco Fall, who's one of the best interior defenders in the game, and also averaging over 11 points per game. And then if their other scorers step up, like guards BJ Taylor and Aubrey Dawkins, they could be a real threat to knock off some higher seeds. They play number 8 Houston today at 4 p.m. on ESPN, which could be a very good time to prove that they are no team to sleep on, especially on national television. So maybe next podcast I'll bring you two more bracket busters.
Yeah, very good job with that. Yeah, definitely for Tyus Battle for Syracuse. He's one of those guys that when he heats up, he can really take over a game. And Taco Fall as well, 7'6". How are you going to stop that when he gets into the paint?
Almost impossible.
Yeah, so this has been College Basketball Realm. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Blake. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Twitter at College Realm. Thank you for listening.